We're going to start the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph. There we slept off yesterday with a discussing the fact that the procedures that are laid out in the Mishnah are, we learn out from both Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nehemiah. So now the question of the Gemara is, when the procedures that are laid out in the Mishnah, how exacting are we of those procedures? Sidmar Rav Huna Amar B'chol Eilu Tnan. That Rav Huna believes that when the Mishnah enumerates the protocol that is needed to be Mekadesh the Azara and expand the Azara, that is B'chol Eilu. You need everything that is mentioned in the Mishnah. That's Melech, Kohen Gadol, Urim V'tumim, the Shir, the Todah. You need all those items in order to be Mekadesh the Yerushalayim, Mekadesh the Azara. Rav Nachman Amar B'achat Mikol Eilu Tnan. You do not require all of these procedural items in order to be Mekadesh the Azara or Yerushalayim. Only simply one of them. That is sufficient. So now, Rav Huna Amar B'chol Eilu Tnan. Why does Rav Huna believe that you need all of these items? Kasavar. Kedusha Rishona Kidsha L'Sha'ata V'Kidsha L'Atid Lavo. He believes that the Kedusha Rishona that was established by David and Shlomo in Yerushalayim, that was a permanent Kedusha. There was no need to reinstate that Kedusha in the time of Ezra. So why did Ezra, we know in Nehemiah, we just read the Psukim in Nehemiah, that they did do some sort of procedure or protocol in order to be Mekadesh, the Chomot Yerushalayim. Why did they do that? Mar says, Ve'ezra Zecher Be'ama Hudavot. They simply did it as a Zecher Be'ama. It was not a necessary, it wasn't a necessity in order to be Mekadesh Yerushalayim. They simply did it as a Zecher Be'ama. Because you do require all of these items in the procedures, and we know that that's missing. What's missing? Meaning that we need Melech, Navi, Kohen Gadol, Urim V'Tumim, we need the Shir, the Todah, all these items. In the second Bayit, you are missing Urim V'Tumim, and you're missing Melech. So by definition, you can't do all of these items. So if you can't do all these items, how did Yerushalayim is Kadosh? So Rav Huna believes that you didn't need to be Mekadesh anymore. It was already Kadosh from the time of David and Shlomo Melech, and all that Nehemiah was doing and Ezra were doing was simply a, we'll call it a some sort of ceremonial demarcations of the walls of Yerushalayim, but not that there was any significance to their demarcating the walls of Yerushalayim. Rav Huna is suggesting at this point is that it's an impossibility for the Mishnah to be accomplished in the time of Nehemiah, simply because you don't have the Urim V'Tumim, you don't have the Melech, so there's just no way it could be accomplished. Whatever Nehemiah did do, and he was able to do, he did right. But it didn't have religious significance. So whatever he did in a ceremonial fashion had the trappings of what would have been the procedure that would have been used had it been properly done, but it still doesn't, in the end, it's just ceremonial, according to Rav Huna. And I understand that the Gemara sounded yesterday like they were learning from Nehemiah, but they're learning from his ceremonial, they're learning from what he did, that's what it would have been done had it been needed to be done. Now, what can't be done, and what you would want to do in the time of Nehemiah, is expand the Kedushat Yerushalayim, which is that all Nehemiah can do is he can only simply reinstate the Kedushah that was established in the time of David and Shlomo Melech. He cannot expand the Kedushah of Yerushalayim. He can't do a Tosefet on the Azara. All right, so now Rav Nachman Amar, Be'achat Me'elutnan. Rav Nachman says it's sufficient with one of the items in the Mishnah. Kasavar, he believes, Kedusha Rishonah Kidsha L'Shaita V'lo Kidsha L'Tedavo. Kedusha that was established in time of the Mishlomo was temporary. It was only something for their time. But once Yerushalayim was destroyed, the Kedusha was Nifga, it left. And now, when they came back, Ezra Nehemiah, you have to reestablish the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. So Ezra, Kedusha Kodesh, he's literally making Kadosh. Despite the fact that there's no Urim V'Tumim. And again, we said that he can't accomplish what's in the Mishnah, because he's missing Urim V'Tumim, he's missing Melech. And therefore, he cannot accomplish that. So the only way you could suggest that he's able to accomplish it is as long as he does some of the procedures that are mentioned in the Mishnah. So the procedures we saw that they did was the Todah, the Shir, that they did do. And so that was sufficient to create Kedusha, according to Rav Nachman. So again, according to Rav Nachman, it's clear that Nehemiah is the source for what is in the portion of the Mishnah that is being described, or what we learned out yesterday in Nehemiah. That's what the Gemara concluded yesterday. So the Gemara was aware of both opinions, and the Gemara was seemed to be speaking in both opinions. Although, like you were what you're suggesting, your question is a fair question about if it's just ceremonial, how could they really learn from it? Eitve, Rova the Rav Nachman. Kol shelo nasit b'chol elu. So now we have a, right, the Mishnah states, kol shelo nasit b'chol elu. Anything that's not done with all of these items. Well, it sounds pretty much like what Rav Huna is suggesting, which is means b'chol elu. So Rav Nachman comes along and says, no, amend the Mishnah to read, right, tnei b'chat mikol elu. Just amend the Mishnah to read that way, and we won't have a problem. So they just left out the word achat. If you leave it at the word achat, then it sounds like Rav Huna, but if you just put it on the word achat, then it sounds like me too. So Tashma, Abishol Omer, Shnei Bitzim Ayu Bahar Mishcha. On Har Zeitim, there were two swamps, or two areas of reeds or grass that were found on the Har Zeitim. Tachtona Elyona, one at the base of the mountain of base of Har Zeitim, and one Elyona at the top of Har Zeitim. Tachtona Nitkasha Bechel Elu. The lower part was kadosh, probably from the time of David Shlomo, or was done procedurally in a manner that would have made it kadosh. It had all these items. That means it had to be done in the time of Bayit Rishon. The upper portion of Har Zeitim was not, right, the Nitkadesh, through this entire ceremony. I mean, it was lacking in the real kadosh of Yerushalayim. Ela bolei gola. People from the second bayit, they added on that portion to Yerushalayim. But since they were missing the Urim Vetumim and the Melech, they couldn't add it on with the same Kedusha as the real Yerushalayim. Shelo b'melech, v'shelo b'Urim Vetumim. They're missing Melech and Urim Vetumim. Just interesting, I'll just point out here that over here, the Gemara says that they were missing Melech and Urim Vetumim. When it was talking before between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, it said that they were missing Urim Vetumim. It does not say they were missing Melech. That might relate today to it's a issue today with the modern day poskim about whether you can have, does Melech literally mean a king, a Davidic king, or can you have Melech be represented by some sort of governing body or some sort of leadership? And maybe that's enough to be called Melech. I'm speculating here. I don't think it's Mukhrach, but you see that before, when we discussed it before, the only thing they thought they were missing at the time as Nehemiah was Urim Vetumim, not Melech. Why? Because they had leadership. So maybe the leadership could stand, right, for the Melech. On the other hand, Rashi, when he's commenting on that, Rav Huna and Rav Nachman says they were missing Urim Tumim and Melech. He adds in the word Melech, which is interesting. Here, the Bryce, when we're discussing over here, it says that they were missing Melech and they were missing Urim Vetumim. That mere leadership is not enough to replace Melech. Melech means literally a Melech. And again, that might have nafkamino today in terms of a halachic realm, whether we do have a Melech, when we have a government, right, that represents the people, or even though it's a democratic government, does that qualify as a Melech? And depending whether you go race, whether they were missing Melech or not missing Melech, will make a difference here. You have this place on Har HaZeitim that's split. Part of it is Kadosh, part of it is not Kadosh. So what's going on? So Tachtona Shaita Kedushata Gimura. The lower part of Har HaZeitim was full Kedusha. I mean, it was already done in the time of Bayit Rishon, had full-fledged Kedusha as part of Yerushalayim. Amei Haaretz Nichnasim L'Sham V'Ochlim Sham Kodshim Kalim. The Amei Haaretz used to eat their Kodshim Kalim there, Aval Lo Maaser Sheni. But they did not, they refused to eat there Maaser Sheni in that location. Now remember that Maaser Sheni and Kodshim Kalim have the same requirement. They must be eaten within the Chomot Yerushalayim. Despite that fact, the Amei Haaretz differentiated. They ate their Kodshim Kalim in that location, but they would not eat their Maaser Sheni in that location. V'chaveirim. On the other hand, those that were knowledgeable, Ochlim Sham Kodshim Kalim, U'Maaser Sheni. They would eat both their Maaser Sheni and their Kodshim Kalim in that lower part of Har HaZeitim, because that had full Kedusha of Yerushalayim. El Yonah, the upper part of Yerushalayim, Shalo Hayta Kedushata Gemura, that wasn't fully, you know, consecrated by the procedures that were required to make it a part of Yerushalayim. There, Amei Haaretz Hayu Nichnasim Sham Ochlim Sham Kodshim Kalim. They still ate their Kodshim Kalim up there. Aval Lo Maaser Sheni. Again, not Maaser Sheni. V'chaveirim. And those that were knowledgeable, again, Ein Ochlim Sham Lo Kodshim Kalim Lo Maaser Sheni. They didn't eat anything over there because it wasn't part of Kedushat Yerushalayim. So Mar says, Umi pnei ma lo kitshua. Why didn't they make it kadosh, full-fledged kedusha? Mar says, Shem mosif malir valazarot el b'melech v'navi v'urim tuim u'sanhedrin shalayin aleph u'bishtei todot u'bishir. So Mar says, okay, so if they didn't have that, that's why they couldn't make it kadosh. So Mar says, well, lama kitshua? So the Gemara says, why did they make it kadosh? Mar says, lama kitshua? What do you mean lama kitshua? Ha amart lo kitshua? You just said they didn't make it kadosh. Why did they include it in the boundaries of the walls of Yerushalayim if they didn't make it kadosh? Man, the answer is, it's a very interesting answer. It was a weak spot in the defense of Yerushalayim. Had they not walled off the city up to the part of the upper part of Har Zeitim, Haita and Venochaya Lichavesh Misham, it would have been easier to conquer Yerushalayim from that position had they not walled off that part of the city. So they added that part to the city, not because of its religious ability to be religiously included inside of Yerushalayim, but for military reasons, they included it inside of Yerushalayim. Now there are two, there's an important Rashi and an important Tosafot over here. The first thing Rashi explains is, what were the Ami Aretz thinking? Why did they differentiate between Kodshim Kaleim and Maisur Sheni? What was the difference? Why would they not eat Maisur Sheni, neither in the lower part or the upper part of Har Zeitim, yet they would eat Kodshim Kaleim there, no problem. So the Chaverim, we understand. The Chaverim were consistent. They ate in the lower part, Maisur Sheni and Kodshim Kaleim, because that was part of Yerushalayim, inside the Chomot. They did not eat in the upper part, because that wasn't part of it. But how do you explain the logic of the Ami Aretz? So this is Rashi. It's an unbelievable Rashi. If you look in the Hagota Bach, where the Hagota Bach ends, over here on the right side, it says, Ve'yesh lefaresh, Dame Aretz ha-mafrishim asrot, hayu zrizim lasot bo mitzvah min ha-muvchar. The Ami Aretz that used to take off Maiser, they used to do it a super duper job. Why do they do a super duper job with Maiser Sheni? Because they heard the drasha and shul. The fish you shomim drasha aser bishvil shetit asher. They said they knew that if you did Maiser, else you get rich. So they wanted to make sure that they did it well. They wanted to be perfect on the masrot. Vayutzrichim leitvadot, and they had to say vidui Maiser. So when it came to Vidu Meiser, it says, Asiti kechola shir tzivi toni. I did everything you told me. Which is what? What is it that it's told in there? It says, V'achalto lifnei Hashem lokecha, maser degancha, tiroshcha v'yitzarecha. So lekach hayu nichtasim atoch chumat Yerushalayim ha-pnimit, lekeim lifnei Hashem lokecha. They were mahadrin. They went mahadrin Yerushalayim. They went only inside the closest part, the inner parts of Yerushalayim. They wanted to make sure that they were mekayim Meiser Sheni. Right? Can mahadrim and mahadrim, mufchar, can mufchar, because that was aser kadei shetit asher. Aval b'kodshim, when it came to the kodshim, lo hayu matrichim atzman. They didn't really bother so much, and it wasn't such a big deal. V'chulim otam, lifnei mechoma chitona. As long as when they were in the walls of Yerushalayim, they were fine with that. Shein motzi machzanya bifnim, if they didn't find some nice bed and breakfast internally, they would stay up on the other part. So, כשהיו אומרים להם, זו קדושה, זו קדושה, וזהינו קדושה, לא היו שומעים לנו. They didn't listen. לפי שאומרים, זו חומה, וזו חומה. There's a wall here, there's a wall here. What's the difference? If there's a wall, it's kadosh. They didn't see the difference between the lower Har Zeitim and the upper Har Zeitim. So that's the first aspect, which Rashi here explains the inconsistency of the Ami Aretz. He says it's really dependent on this idea or this view of Maisur Sheni, that they took Maisur Sheni very seriously, and since they took it seriously, they were Mahader to bring it all the way into Yerushalayim. When it came to Kodshim Kaleim, they say, look, if there's a wall, there's a wall. We'll eat inside the wall of Yerushalayim. Even though the wall, elders were explained to them that the walls were different, it wasn't perfect. They nevertheless did that. They did eat it anywhere they wanted inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Now, why did they do this? So Tosafot says over here, it's an unbelievable Tosafot. It's the second Tosafot on the Amud. It's an unbelievable Tosafot. He says, wait, listen, if we know the Ami Aretz are going to have a problem, and that they're going to actually eat outside the walls of Yerushalayim, Kodshim Kaleim, how could we include this inside of Yerushalayim? So listen to this Tosafot, it's unbelievable. They included it inside of Yerushalayim, kidei shimasru atzmam aleihem, yoter k'sheish b'shem kedusha. They were, for military reasons, they included it in Yerushalayim, and they made it seem like it was kadosh, because the people would be more willing to give up their lives and to fight for Yerushalayim HaKdosha, then stam for some piece of land that was outside of Yerushalayim. So from that perspective, that psychological aspect of making it part of Yerushalayim and making it think that it was Kadosh, there was a value in terms of protecting Yerushalayim that they were willing to take the risk of Takala or the risk of the Ami Aretz eating outside what would have been the Chumat Yerushalayim in order to benefit from the psychological benefit or the psychological advantage of having it be included inside of Yerushalayim or considered as if it is Kadosh with Yerushalayim. It's an amazing Tosafot. It's unbelievable that we were, that was the consideration. It was a military consideration, not a religious consideration in terms of including the city. Tanahi, let us suggest here that whether Kedusha Rishonah is Kichala Atidavo or not is a Machloket Tanaim. Tanya. We have a Braisa, it's a Braita that's found in Megillah and Zvachim. It's found in Idiot as well. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati, Shayu Bonim Behechal. When they were building, when they came back in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were building Asuklaim Lehechal. They put up curtains for the Hechal, Viklaim Lazarot. And they put up curtains to demarcate where the Azara was. Ella, Shebehechal Bonim Bebachutz. They used to build the Hechal on the outside, meaning that the curtains were towards the inside of what would have been the width of the wall, and they built the wall on the outside so they wouldn't get benefit, or they wouldn't be nenin from the Heichal, from the Kodesh HaKodashim. Uba Azarot, and that's right the other way around, Bonimi Bifnim. They used to build the wall on the inside of the curtains and leave the curtains towards the outer side of the thickness of the walls. That's Rabbi Lezer's opinion. Amar Rabbi Yeshua, Yeshua describes what he says. Shamati Shemakrivin Afo Pishein Bayit. I heard that they brought carbonate even though there's no Beit HaMikdash. Ochlim kochei kadashim, afu pishein klaim. They can eat kochim kadashim, even though there are no walls around the Beit HaMikdash, around the Azarot. Kochim kalim, you can eat kochim kalim in the city of Yerushalayim, umayser sheni, afu pishein choma, even though there's no wall around Yerushalayim. Mipnei, shekudusha rishona, kitsha d'shaita, v'kitsha d'atid avo. The kedusha was already established at the time of David and Shlomo, and once it was established, you don't need to do anything in order to be there. You can bring a korban because the kedusha is there, the mikdash, the places of the mikdash exist, even without the actual trappings of the mikdash or the walls. So Mara says, Lav Michlal, Rabbi Lezer Sevar, lo kitsha d'atid avo. If Rabbi Yeshua explicitly states that the reason for his position, or for his explanation or description of what happened at the time of Ezra Nehemiah was because of Kedusha Rishona, kitsha d'atid avo, then it must be that Rabbi Lezer holds the opposite. How do you know that's true? Dilma the Kuliyama Kedusha Rishona Kitcha the Shaita Bekitcha the Tidavo. Maybe everybody agrees that the Kedusha Rishona is permanent. Umar my Deshmele Kamar. Umar my Deshmele Kamar. They're simply giving over historical fact. This is the Mesorah that they had about how it was built in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. That's what they're discussing. They both agree that there is a Kedusha Rishona that stayed permanently. V'chiteima, if that's the case, Klaim the Rabbi Lezer Lamali, then if that's the case, then Rabbi Yeshua is right. And why does Rabbi Lezer need the curtains to be there at all? When it says, it's Niyutu Ba'alma, it's just nice. I mean that, true, you can beam up carbonotes, you can do all the avoda, you can do everything up in the Mikdash without any walls. It just doesn't seem appropriate. So it was inappropriate, so they put up the curtains in order to make it nice and to make it more appropriate to be a place of Kedusha. But not that that was a requirement in order to make it Kadosh. It was Kadosh even without those curtains. So now, based on this, the Gemara has a position here, or an assumption that everybody holds, that Kedusha Rishona Kitcha, the Shaita V'Kitcha La'atid Lavo. And Tosos brings here an opinion from other places in Shas where that's not necessarily true. We find other Tanaim that don't hold of that. So how could the Gemara say, oh, the Kuliyama, everybody holds Kedusha Rishona, Kitcha L'Shaita, Kitcha L'Tidavo. So Tosos over here, it seems to be, the way Tosos is reading is the Kuliyama means beyond Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Kuliyama means that we have no Machlokas. The Gemara tried to introduce there is a Machlokas in Kedusha Rishona. When the Gemara says Kuliyama, it means that they don't think there's a Machlokas anymore in Kedusha Rishona. That's the way Tosos is reading. I agree with you. You could just read it as more local, that they're just saying it about Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. But that's not the way Tosos reads it. Tosos reads it, that means it's a generic statement. And Tosos brings other opinions, like from Rabbi Eliezer, that that's not the case. And if that's not the case, how do we explain his opinion? So Tosos does something that we know from the Rambam, and we've discussed this before. Tosos separates between the Kedushat HaAretz and the Kedushat HaMechitzot Yerushalayim. He says that the Kedushat HaAretz might have been only Kedusha the Shaita, whereas the Kedushot and the Mechitzot of Yerushalayim were Kedusha the Shaita or the Atid Lavo. And that's an opinion that we know from the Rambam. The Rambam is Mechalek between Yerushalayim. It's actually the way the Ein Mishpat reads it over here. It's not Yerushalayim. It's simply the Mikdash. But the Mikdash is Kadosh because the Shekhinah is Eina Beteila. Since the Shekhinah is Eina Beteila, therefore the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is permanent. Whereas the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is not about the Shekhinah, but it's about the Kibush or the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, that is something that could pass and that's something that could disappear. And that's the Shita of the Rambam. If you remember, we saw this together. We discussed this in Makot together, that the Kedusha Rishona, this Machlokas, is with the Raivot. The Raivot believes that there was no Kedusha, permanent Kedusha of Yerushalayim, and therefore the Raivot believes that people can walk up to Har HaBayit today without any problem, because there is no Kedusha HaMakom, and that Kedusha HaMakom was not permanent, it was always temporary, and therefore you can walk up, there's no Chiyuv Karet for walking up onto Har HaBayit today, according to the Raivot. We saw actually in a third opinion, which is the opinion of Tosafot back there, which is suggested the opposite, that he suggested that the Kedushat HaAretz was permanent from Kedusha Rishona, whereas the Kedusha of Yerushalayim was temporary and had to be reinstated in the time of Ezra. So we have three different permutations about what the halacha was over there. I suggest that maybe Rashi was an additional opinion which connected the two together that says that Yerushalayim and the Eretz have to be connected. So there you have the different permutations of what the possibilities of opinions are over here. But the Rambam, again, has a very mechudash shita about the fact that Yerushalayim is permanent kedusha, whereas the Eretz Yisrael is not permanent kedusha. And at the time we looked in Ala Tshuva, Rav Soloveitchik has an explanation for the position of the Rambam. The basic premise of his position is that when it came to the kibush of Yoshua, that the Kedushat HaAretz preceded the Kedushat Yerushalayim. Kedushat HaAretz was first established, and only later was Kedushat Yerushalayim put in place. Whereas in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, it was the other way around. First, the Kedushat Yerushalayim was established, and the Binyan HaMikdash was put, and then only afterwards was the Kedushah spread to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And for that reason, the Kedushah of Yoshua was not permanent, whereas the Kedushah of Yerushalayim, of course, is permanent because of the Shekhinah. But at the time of Ezra, not only was the Kedushah of the Shekhinah there from Yerushalayim, but it was also Kedushat HaAretz became permanent at that time because of the Shekhinah. Because of the Shekhinah in Yerushalayim, which caused the Kedushah to emanate from Yerushalayim outwards, which means that the Kedushat HaAretz there derived from the fact that there was Shekhinah in Yerushalayim. So that's how Rav Soloveitchik wants to explain the position of the Rambam and the difference between the Kibush of Yoshua and the Chazakah of Ezra. Alright, so now the Gemara says, alright, okay, maybe that's not a machloka tanaim between Rabbi Lez and Rabbi Yeshua, Elahani tanai. We have someone else who disagrees. We have a machlokas here, or a difference in opinion about Kedusha Rishonah and the Tanya. We have a braisa. Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, lama manu chachamim et elu? Why did the chachamim enumerate these cities? This is in Erechin. We're talking about Batei Arei Choma, and the special dinim that apply to Batei Arei Choma. These are cities that are walled from the time of Yeshua Binun. Cities that are walled from the time of Yeshua Binun have certain dinim. One is that Mitzorayim have to be outside the city. Number two is when you sell a house in the city, there are certain rules, meaning that you can only buy it back for a year, afterwards it becomes a permanent sale, as well as the fact that you're not allowed to make the outside, the rings around the city, you have to make part of them a migrash, part of them a sadeh, and of course, the last rule, which is not applicable to Oraisa, but Midrabanan, you would also have Shushan Purim. So all of these things affect which cities have walls around them. So the Chachamim have a list of cities that had walls around them from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wants to know, why did the Chachamim bother to enumerate all these cities? When the Bnei Gula came up for Eretz Yisrael, they found these cities and they were mekadesh them. The first cities, the original cities, doesn't matter. The walled cities that were there, they're all gone. Their Kedusha is gone in Paka. The Kedusha was reestablished by those that came up in from Bavel, came up in the second Bayit. They're the ones who established which cities, walled cities, have Kedusha. Rashi comments over here. He says, Lo perish li b'ma mikudashim are Eretz Yisrael. He says, I don't know how you make a walled city in Eretz Yisrael Kadosh. I don't know what the procedure is, he says, but whatever that procedure was, that's what they did in order to make it Kadosh. He says, Salama kasavar, must clear from this, right, that Rabbi Shua ben Levi believes that Kedusha Rishonah was not permanent because it was destroyed or taken away, and only the Olei Bavel were the ones who established which walled cities have Kedusha. Very many. We had a question, or we have a stira to this. Am Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. This is the same Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. He says, "V'chi elu bilvad hayu? Are these the only walled cities that there were that were kadosh?" V'alo kfar ne'emar. Doesn't it say? We just said this with the Melchemet Zichon va'Og, and we're gonna have it in this week's parsha. Shishim ir kochel chevel agov mamlechet og v'bashan kolei la'arim b'tzurot choma gvoha. So you have all these. You have a massive number of walled cities along the area of the Bashan, right, which are not included in this list of Chazal. So we know there were tons of walled cities from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. It's interesting to note two things over here. Number one is that the fact that we're talking about Evar Yardain here. We're talking about the Golan, right? And he's calling these Arbat Erei Choma that have a Kedusha of Kedushat Eretz Yisrael, which is not perfectly clear that that should be the case, but the Gemara here has that assumption, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi has that assumption that even though it's in Evar Yardain, even though it's in the Bashan and the Golan, that it does have Kedusha Taharetz, at least the Gabe walled cities from the time of Yoshua Binun. The second thing is the assumption that these cities that they were there. They didn't destroy the cities, but these cities were still functional at that time after they captured those areas from Og Melech HaBashan. So, Ela, lama manu chachamim et elu? Then why did the chachamim enumerate these cities if there are multiples of cities beyond them? Shekishalu b'nei gola matzu elu. The b'nei gola, when they came up, they found these cities still intact with their walls. B'kichum, Kichum? What do you mean, Ashto? What do you mean, Kichum Ashto? I'm reading the command. You just said they didn't need Kedusha. Why do they have to be Mekadesh them? Elamatsu Elu Umenaum. They found these and they counted them, meaning that they had a Mesorah about these. Velo Elu Bilvad, Elu Kosha Telebi Adcha Mesorah Meavotecha. Any city you have a Mesorah from your forefathers, Shem Kuhet Chumah Mimoshot Yeshua Binun, that is walled from the time Yeshua Binun, Kol Mitzvot Elu Nuheged Ba. All the Mitzvot of Batei Arei Chumah apply, or Arei Chumah, a city with a wall around it, Batei Arei Chumah, the Shiluach HaMitzorah, the Migrishayim and Sadot and Shushan Pirim all apply to these cities that you have a Mesorah about. What do you see now? Mipnei, Shekedusha Rishona, Kidshul HaShaita, V'Kidshul HaAtid Lavo. Because obviously the Kedusha, the original Kedusha is what matters, and therefore when it was walled from the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, that's what matters. That's a walled city, and that remains the Kedusha, a walled city forever, because it was walled at the time of Yeshua Ben Nun. So I'm going to ask the obvious question, which is, Kasha, the Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi is stating about the same Mishnah, where that enumerates these cities. In one instance, he says, these cities exclusively, and says that there was no Kedusha Rishonah, only from the time of the Olei Bavel or the Kadosh. And the second time, we have the Brisa where Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says, oh, they enumerated these in the Mishnah because these were just one of a number of many. They just had a Mesorah about these. But any of them would have included, and that suggests that there was a Kedusha Rishonah that stayed permanent. So Gemara says, Ibai Teima Trei Tanaya Lebi de Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. These are two Tanaim, according to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. Ibai Teima Chad Minau Rabbi Lazar Bar Yossi. Someone says that one of them is not Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi, but Rabbi Lazar Bar Yossi, which is the one who says that Kedusha Rishonah was permanent, because Amra Adetanya, we have a Brisa, Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asher Lo Chomah. When it says Asher Lo Chomah, it's a Kriyin Ktiv of Lamed Vav and Lamed Aleph. Asher Lo Chomah with a Lamed Vav means that it does have a wall. Asher Lo Chomah with a Lamed Aleph would be, right, Lo Chomah does not have a wall. So Gemara Darshan's with the Lamed Aleph, the Kriyin Ktiv, that is Asher Lo Chomah, that even if it doesn't have a wall today, as long as it had a wall in the time of Yeshua Ben Nun, it remains in its Kedusha. Avo Pishen Lo Achshav, Vayelo Kodem Lechen, it's still classified as a walled city. So what do you see from Elazar Rabbi Yossi is that Kedusha Rishonah was permanent. How do you know it was permanent? Because it doesn't need to have a wall today. It's not classified as a walled city because it has a wall today. It's classified as a walled city because it had a wall at the time of Yeshua Ben Nun. So that means Kedusha Rishonah is permanent, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi would be of the position, the second Braita that we brought from Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, whereas Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi would be the author of the first Braita. So that's in order to reconcile the two, a twin opinion. But now we have a Machlokas, we see, a Machlokas Tanaim, about whether Kedusha Rishonah was permanent or not permanent. And that is the Machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna here, about with the procedure that Nehemiah used, whether we were talking about Kedusha Rishonah was permanent or not permanent. Now it is interesting that the Gemara brought as a proof, right, that there is such thing as a Machlokas Tanaim about this issue. They brought something about Arei Chomah. They talk about walled cities. Walled cities are out in the Aretz. Rav Huna and Rav Nachman are discussing about Nehemiah, which is talking about Yerushalayim. It's talking about Yer HaKodesh. The fact that the Gemara brings a proof from the Aretz to Yerushalayim seems to indicate that there's some correlation between them. That's why, again, I wanted to suggest to Mako that Rashi believed there was a correlation between the two, and that you really didn't separate between them. Even though Tosafot here separates between them, and Bar Rambam separates between them, nevertheless, the Gemara is bringing one as a proof to the other, as somewhat of an indication that maybe there shouldn't be such a separation between them, because they're willing to call it Machloket Tanaim about the same Machlokas that Rav Huna and Rav Nachman have. All right. So now the Gemara says, this is the second half of the Mishnah. The first half of the Mishnah dealt with Yediot HaTumah Shtayim Shein Arba, which is when someone was Tameh outside of the Mikdash and then enters the Mikdash. The next part of the Mishnah deals with someone who became Tameh inside of the Mikdash. What's the din of someone who becomes Tameh in the Mikdash? So you might want to know, Tumah Be'Azara Minolan. How do we know that if you become Tameh inside of the Azara, that you actually have to leave, or there's a requirement to leave right away? So Amar Rav Elazar, Ketuv Echad Omer, it says in Parsha Chukat, by the Parah Aduma, it says, Et Mishkan Hashem Timei, V'Ketuv Echad Omer, Ki Et Mikdash Hashem Timei. So the pasuk, one time it calls the place which you are being metameh, when you do not mitaher yourself from tumata mate, the place you're being tameh is the Mishkan, and one place it calls it the Mikdash, that you're being mitameh. So why does it switch between Mikdash and Mishkan? So the Gemara says, the cry, mitrei, right? So why do you need two psukim to tell me one Mishkan and one Mikdash? So ha mitzrach tzriche. We need both of these psukim. Why? The Tanya, we have a brisa. Rabbi Elazar Omer, im nemar Mishkan, lama nemar Mikdash. Why do you need both of them? Ilu Nemar Mishkan, had it simply written Mishkan, Velo Nemar Mikdash, and it did not say Mikdash, Hayitomer, I would have said, Ala Mishkan Yechayav Sheri Mashuach B'Shemen Mishcha. The Mishkan has something over the Beit HaMikdash, which is that it was anointed with the Shemen Mishcha by Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why its Kedusha is more Chamura, and only there are you Chayav for Tuma, when the Tuma happens inside the Mishkan. But Mikdash, but when it comes to Mikdash, it won't be Chayav, because that didn't get the anointing with the Shemen HaMishcha, so therefore it wasn't as Kadosh. V'yonemar Mikdash, had it only written Mikdash, lo nemar Mishkan, and had not written Mishkan, I would have said, al Mikdash yehei Chayav, for the Mikdash it would be Chayav, sharei Kedushato, Kedushat Olam. Its Kedusha is permanent. That's what Rashi says. That's the way Rashi reads it. He says, what does it mean, Kedushat Olam? It means that after Yerushalayim was established as the center of spirituality, there was no longer any Heter Habamot. There was no longer any opportunity to bring Korbanot outside of Yerushalayim. So that's what it means. Kedushat Olam literally means that once Yerushalayim is established as the center of the religious city, there's no other city or no other place you can bring Korbanot afterwards. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosfos, on the other hand, says he doesn't necessarily like Rashi's interpretation, but he says, Yesh Lefaresh Kedushat Olam, She'ruchu B'Kedusha Yoter. That Kedushat Olam means that it had a longer duration in time than the Mishkan. It lasted for more years than the Mishkan. The Beit HaMikdash stood just physically longer than the Mishkan. On the other hand, which is not so clear that was the case. Maybe if you add both the Beit Rishon and Beit Sheni together, that's the case. But the Mishkan stays throughout the time of Yoshua, through the Midbar, throughout the time of Yeshua, throughout the time of Shoftim. It's only destroyed in the time of Eli, in the beginning of Shmuel, which is a good, couple hundred years, probably 300-400 years later, maybe even more, which is the same time or the extent of the Beit HaMikdash. The second answer he gives, Tosas says that Yerushalayim, as opposed to the Mishkan is a traveling, by definition, it's a traveling type of Kedusha, it's a movable Kedusha. Yerushalayim, once it was established as the Makom HaKedusha, anytime you wanted to reestablish a Mishkan or Mikdash, you have to build it in Yerushalayim. You have no choice anymore. You have to build it in Yerushalayim, and that's what it means, Kedushato, Kedushat Olam. That becomes the permanent place where the Shekhinah will rest, and that's the place you have to build any future Mikdash or Mishkan. So now, the Gemara says, okay, so on Mishkan you won't be Chayav. So therefore, Lekach Nemar Mishkan, Lekach Nemar Mikdash. So therefore, the Pasuk tells you about the Mishkan and Mikdash. You tell me, for both of them, you're Chayav for Tuma. If you come to me in either of them, you are Chayav. So now the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, well, if that's what we learn from it, then how are we learning out from this that you must leave the Mishkan? I mean, that we came here to learn out that if you're Tamei or become Tamei inside the Azara, you have to leave, right? That you're Zechiyub to leave, and if not, you violate the Naseh. Well, how do we know that's the case? If we were going to learn this out from the Psukim and Chukat, we'll see in a second how we were going to learn that out, but now we just used the Psukim that we're going to use for a different drasha. Well, if we have a different drasha, then we don't have any drasha to tell us this din. So the Gemara says, no, this is how to explain this limud, which is, Kach Nemar, Rabbi Lazar Achal Kakashile. Rabbi Lazar, this is the question that Rabbi Lazar had, and this is the problem they had. Michte, let us see. Mishkan Ikre Mikdash, U Mikdash Ikre Mishkan. The terms are used synonymously. Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably throughout the Torah. It's not that Mikdash always means a building or a permanent site, and it's not that Mishkan means a temporary site. They're used interchangeably, and we'll see throughout the Torah. The Gemara is going to have proof to that in a second. That's the case. So now, if that's the case, the girsa here is somewhat, the Bach changes the girsa, the parentheses that I skipped before, the Bach brings over here. So he says, either we could have written, at this point, im eino inyan l'tumah shebachutz, if it's not necessary for tumah shebachutz, meaning if you came tamei outside the Mishkan or the Mikdash, then t'neo inyan l'tumah shebifnim, use it for tumah inside the Mishkan or the Mikdash. So the Gemara's point, or what the lima would have been, is that I have Mishkan and I have Mikdash. They're interchangeable. So why did the Torah write it twice? It's as if they wrote the same thing twice. Why did I write it twice? One to teach me about tumah inside. If I'm outside, I can't come in if I'm Tamei. And the other one's to teach me if I'm Tamei on the inside, I must leave and go out. That's the Gemara's assumption here. But then we have this other limud, which is the limud of Mishkan and Mikdash, which seems to say that there is a difference between them, and we wouldn't have known one from the other. So this, the Gemara says, okay, so if that's the case, how are we learning both things out? So the Gemara says, okay, Nichtav O Idi B'Idi Mikdash, Oidividi Mishkan. The fact is the Torah could have written Mishkan twice or Mikdash twice. I would have learned from that both about Pnim and Chutz. I would have known that if you're outside, you can't go in, and if you're inside, you must go out. Now that it's switched the Lashon from Mikdash to Mishkan, it doesn't keep a parallel structure. It uses one time Mishkan, one time Mikdash. Mishkan or Mikdash, Lamali, why does it switch the Lashon? Shvami Natarte. Therefore, I can learn both things out. So I learned both things out now, which is both the fact that whether you are outside, you may not enter, or whether you're inside, you must leave. That's one din that you learn. The other din you learn is that it applies both to Mishkan and Mikdash. Both of them have this requirement for Tumah, not to enter and must leave, applies both to the Mishkan and the Mikdash. Now, from the conclusion, the Gemara, it's so strange. I'll be honest with you. The Gemara's conclusion is strange. Tosfos raises this issue. In the end, is Mishkan or Mikdash synonymous, or are they not synonymous? If they are synonymous, then what's the Gemara learning over here? If they aren't synonymous, then the Gemara has no limud. So Tosfos brings down, it's an interesting shita. He brings other places in Shas where it seems to be that we're inconsistent with this shita, whether they are one or they're not one. So then he brings down a shita from Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen. And he says, Yaya Mechalek, the davar she'ena talui b'kdushat makom, anything that has nothing to do with the kdushat makom, like Erevin and Chulin, hatam sagi b'chad kral shnehem. When it doesn't deal with the makom itself, the kdushat ha-makom, then anything that deals with kdushat mishkan and mikdash, doing with the place, not the makom where they're, you know, the actual location, but something that happens in them, then we can use Mishkan and Mikdash can be used interchangeably. Aval b'shmaitin de talui b'ktushat makom. We're talking about the place or the location, lo gamri mahadade. You can't learn one from the other, because there it's different. Meaning that when you're talking about the location, Mishkan and Mikdash are very different, because Mikdash is a permanent location, and it's because of the ktushat ha-makom that makes the Mikdash holy. Whereas with the Mishkan, it's the Mishkan itself that makes it kadosh. It's not the place where the Mishkan is, it's the Mishkan itself that makes it kadosh. So therefore, you cannot use them interchangeably in that circumstance or in that when you're using them in that term, in that sense. When you're explaining something about Kedusha or general Kedusha, then you can explain or you can use them interchangeably. And now the Gemara is going to bring a proof that they are used interchangeably. Bishlama Mikdash Imikre Mishkan. I have examples of where the Mikdash is called the Mishkan Dichtiv. It says, V'natati Mishkani B'tochachem. It says, by the Tochacha. Right, this is in the Tocha in Vayikra. It says that Natati Mishkani B'tochem, I will place my Mishkani, my Mikdash. It's obviously talking about the Mikdash, not his Mishkan. Shem is going to place his permanent Shechina, his permanent resting place, living place amongst the people. So here it uses the term Mishkani, even though it's referring to Mikdash. El Mishkan Dikre Mikdash Minolan. Where do we find that the Mishkan is called the Mikdash? So when it says Ilay Mikhtiv, if you want to suggest it's from in Bamidbar, where it says Minasu Hakihatim Noseha Mikdash. Right, this is talking about when the Anan leaves, they talk about how everybody moved, and it says over there the Bnei Kahat moved, they took the carriers of the Mikdash. Wait, they don't carry the Mikdash, they carry the Mishkan, and yet it's called them Noseha Mikdash. Where it says, how about Aron Ktiv? You have no raya from there, because the Bnei Kahat carried the holiest parts of the Mishkan. So when it says that they carried the Mikdash, it doesn't mean the Mikdash, it means the Mikudash. They carried the holy parts of the Mishkan. Elam Yehocha. This is the proof, which is found in Parshat Truma, Vasuli Mikdash, Vishachanti Bitocham. Make me a Mikdash in which I will dwell. And that's at the beginning of the Parshayota Mishkan. In the beginning of the Parshiyot HaMishkan, it says, Asuli Mikdash, Shachanti Betocham. And just to put the seal on that, and to be sure that we're talking about the Mishkan, we know that it says, after Rezuchtiv, Kol Chol Asher Ani Marotcha, Tavnit HaMishkan. Right, that Hashem instructs Moshe to build the Mishkan. So the reference of Asuli Mikdash, Shachanti Betocham, is clearly talking about the Mishkan over here, and not talking about a Mikdash. So here we see instances of where the terms of Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably. Right now, the Gemara said, to be violate the Aseh, if you become Tamei inside of the Azarot, and you must leave, how long do you have to stay there in order to be Chayav? So that the Gemara answers up, that it has to be either a Hishtachava, that he bows down, or Kedei Hishtachavaya, or amount of time it takes for him to bow down. Either one of those. If he tarries, or delays leaving, the amount of time he could have bowed, he's Chayav, he violates the Aseh, or if he actually bows down, then he violates the Aseh. So Gemara wants to know, Amarava, Lo shanu el shishtachave klapei pnim. That's only if he bows down facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because that's called Hishtachavaya. You're not bowing down if you don't bow down towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aval Hishtachavaya, Kav Klap Bechutz, if he's bowing towards the outside, I mean to the eastern side, then Shaha in, if he delays or tarries enough, then okay. Lo Shaha lo, if he does not tarry, then it's not enough. I mean that bowing down on the way out is not enough. You need to actually wait the amount of time of bowing down. Now, of course, you can ask me, well, if he's bowing down, isn't that the amount of time of bowing down? That the Gemara will address in 1 second. Some say, a statement modifies the Sefer. O Shishah Bigdei Hishtachavaya, that he waited the amount of time to bow down. Michlal, Tishtachavaya Gufa Ba'ishia. Sounds like that when you bow down, it's not enough simply to bow down. It means that you have to tarry. Not only do you have to bow down, but you also have to tarry. So, Amarava, Lo Shano Hishtachavaya Kalplape Chutz. That's only talking about when you're bowing outwards towards the east. Kalplape Fnim, if you bow towards the inside, meaning towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, over there, you don't need to wait at all. You don't have to tarry at all. Avagav de Lo Shaha. Rahi Kamar. This is what it means. Hishtachavaya Kalplape Pim. If you bow down facing inward towards the west, towards the Kodesh HaKodeshim, oh, Shisha Kedei Yishtachava, right? Or he waits the amount of time it would take to bow down, Mahach Shtafa, the Kal Plei Chutz, the amount of time that it would take to bow down when he bows down, actually does bow down facing outward, Chayav. So Mar wants to know the basic question, Hechidami Yishtachava, the It Beishiaya, Mehechidami Yishtachava, the Le Beishiaya. How do you have a bowing down that has no tarrying? And how do you have a bowing down that has tarrying? So Mar says, the Let Beishia, Zukriya Biyama. A bowing down that has no tarrying is simply bowing on your knees. I mean, bowing down, kriyan, doesn't mean simply bending your knees, but it means getting down on your knees, kneeling. Right? So that would be a hishtachavaya, bowing that does not have any tarrying associated with it. So now, that when you do the kriya is this type of hishtachava that does not have any late bei shia, zukriya ba'ama. Did ba shia pishut raglaim viyadaim. What is called a hishtachava that has tearing alongside of it? That's when you do, you prostrate yourself. When you lay yourself out in front of a kodesh baruch hu, that's hishtachavaya that also has hishia. So if you say that, now based on this, if you did a kriya facing towards the west or towards the kodesh hakadoshim, there you would be chayav. Because you didn't tarry, but you bowed down. If you simply do a kriya, kneel down facing the east, you would not be chayav, because you did not tarry enough. On the other hand, if you prostrate yourself when you're facing outward, that would be enough, because then you've delayed or tarried enough to be classified as ishtachava with shia, and that would be chayav, even though the bowing you're doing is not really bowing, because you're bowing to the east, not to a kodesh baruch hu. So now the Gemara says, Bekama shi'ur shia. How long is this? How long does it mean to tarry? How long does it take to prostrate oneself? How long does it take to tarry in that bowing position? So, Peligi bar Rav Yitzchok bar Nachmeni, v'chadimei. So, Machlokus din Rav Yitzchok bar Nachmeni and one other person, Umanu. And who's that other person? Rav Shimon ben Pazi. V'amri lo, some people say it's Rav Shimon Pazi, and v'chadimei, and someone with him, Umanu Rav Yitzchok bar Nachmeni, and the Baal Machlokus is Rav Yitzchok bar Nachmeni. V'amri lo, some say it's Rav Shimon bar Nachmeni. Chad amar kimemrei dehai pasuk, psuka. Some, one of them says it's the amount of time it takes to say this pasuk, which we're about to say what that pasuk is. V'chad amar kimivichru the sefer, only from the word v'ichru in this pasuk until the end. And what's the pasuk? The pasuk is v'chol b'nei Yisrael ro'im bered ta'ish. Bnei Yisrael saw when the fire came down from heaven, uchvod Hashem al habayit, and Hashem's presence or Shekhinah came to rest upon the house unto the Mikdash, vayichru apayim arza. They bowed down with their, you know, faces touching the ground, al haritzpa on the ground, vayishtachavu, and they bowed, vahudot Hashem, and they gave praise to Hashem, or thanks to Hashem, ki tov, ki lulam chasto, that he was wonderful, and that his chesed was forever. So now, one says that the amount of time it takes, or the Shia, is to say the entire pasuk. The other one says that the amount of time it says to say from the part of the pasuk, v'yichru'u apai marza, from that to the end of the pasuk, about half the pasuk, and that's enough, that's the amount of time it takes for Shia. So that's the machlokas of how long it takes to tarry inside of the mikdash in order to bow down of a pishut yadayim regalaim. So Tanra Banan, the Gemara now explains to us different types of bowing that one can do inside of the mikdash. And that is kida alapayim. Kida is called something when you bow down and you touch your face. Now, what kida is, it's unclear here what that means, kida lapayim, but it seems to me that you somehow get your face touches the ground, or your face, you put your face into the ground. You do not prostrate yourself entirely out, but you somehow bring down your face to the ground, maybe not without even kneeling. You may not even have to kneel over here. Because if you remember, the Levi does in the Gemara in Sukkah and in Tanit, it says that Levi was kida. before Rebbe. He used to do this acrobatic move before Rebbe, and that was called the Kiddah. The Kiddah was a move by which he used to do a push-up on his thumbs without his legs being on the ground. But it's clear that the word, or the derivative of the word, is the same, Kiddah, which means somehow their face is touching the ground without their actual body being prostrated or without their knees being kneeled on the ground. So it has to be something to that effect, this type of Kiddah Apayim, which is the face touching the ground. V'cheni umer, and we have such a case, by Tikod Bat Sheva Apayim Ar Eretz. So that when Bathsheba comes to see David HaMelech at the end of his life, when she's trying to promote that Shlomo HaMelech should be the inheritor of the crown, over there it says she approaches the king, right? Tikod Bathsheba Apayim Aretz. She bows down with her face to the ground. So you see, Tikod, the word Kiddah, is used by Apayim Aretz. Kriya. Kriya comes with Kera, Kriyayim, which is Alav Yerkayim, means to kneel. To let me be down on your knees. Right, this is the perek in Malachim when Shlomo HaMelech says his tefillah for the beginning or to put the Mikdash into service. And there it says, Vayakam Michro al Birkav. He gets up from kneeling on his knees and then Vayavarech et ha'am. And he gives a bracha to the Am. It's the Haftorah that we read on, right, for Shmini Atzeret. That Vayi Bayom HaShmini. Alright, Hishtachava, what's Hishtachava, yeah? That's Zu, Pishut, Yadayim Reglaim. That's prostrating oneself out, fully. V'chein Umer, and that's what it says when it comes to Yosef and the dreams that he had. Yaakov chastises Yosef about the dreams. It says, Havo, Navo, Anivim, Chava, Checha, Lishto, Chavo, Lecha, Artsa. That we're gonna bow down to you, Artsa. Artsa means on the ground. We're gonna be literally bowed on the ground. We're gonna be laid out on the ground. That's Pishut, Yadayim, V'Raglayim. So here the Braita lays out for us the different types of bowing that could take place. There's Kiddah, there's Kriyah, and there's Hishtachavaya. So these are all the three different types of bowing, even though Tosos points out that it's not clear that it's, we brought Psukim to prove this, but we have other places in Shas where we, for instance, in Tanakh, where by Yosef, it says, by Yosef, Yosef, Otam Me'im Birkav, by Ishtachavu L'Apav Arza. We see that the word Ishtachavaya is used with the word Apayim also. And, we see other places that Apayim Eres Ishtachavu L'Cha, by Yikod, by Ishtachavu L'Apav. We see the word Ishtachavaya is also used with Apav, and not just the word Kiddah, or by Yikod is used by Apayim. So you have to say that, Kiddah, we know for sure is Al Apayim. Ishtachavaya includes Al Apayim, because it's Pishut Yadayim Raglaim. He's prostrating himself in front, so it's his whole body plus his face is down on the ground. But it's clear that, or the Gemara thinks that the Kiddah here is only Apayim and not the other things that are included with Hishtachavaya. Okay, we'll stop over here.